TED Audio Collective.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Summarize with AI in a click. Writer's block? Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
Canva.
You're growing a business, and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate, no coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
A quick new idea, daily, from the world's greatest TEDx talks. I'm your host, Atossa Leone, and this is TEDx Shorts.
When it comes to medical treatment, it may seem odd or even rude to question your doctor's plan of action. But for Krister Jaseth, a neurosurgeon and the vice president of the Norwegian Medical Association, inquiries about your care can be really powerful and could even prevent over- or mistreatment. In this episode, Krista shares four simple questions you can and should ask your doctor the next time you visit.
Let me start off by telling you about a patient of mine. This was a woman in her 50s. She was in generally good shape, but she had been in and out of hospital a few times due to curative breast cancer treatment. Now she had gotten a prolapse from a cervical disc, giving her radiating pain of a tense kind out into the right arm. Looking at her MRI before the consultation, I decided to suggest an operation. Now, neck operations like these are standardized and they're quick, but they carry a certain risk. You make an incision right here and you dissect carefully past the trachea, the esophagus, and you try not to cut into the internal carotid artery. Then you bring in the microscope and you carefully remove the disc and the prolapse in the nerve root canal without damaging the cord and the nerve root lying only millimeters underneath. A worst case scenario is the damage to the cord, which can result in paralysis from the neck down. Explaining this to the patient, she felt silent. And after a few moments, she uttered a few very decisive words for me and for her. Doctor, is this really necessary? And you know what I realized right there and then? It was not. In fact, when I get patients like this woman, I tend to advise not to operate. So what made me do it this time? Well, you see, this prolapse was so delicate. I could practically see myself pulling it out of the nerve root canal before she entered the consultation room. I have to admit it, I wanted to operate her. I'd love to operate her. Operating like is after all the most fun part of my job. Even though most indications for treatments in the world are standardized, there is a lot of unnecessary variation of treatment decisions, especially in the Western world. Some people are not getting the treatment that they need, but an even greater portion of you are being overtreated. Doctor, is this really necessary? I've only heard that question once in my career. My colleagues say they never heard these words from a patient. And to turn it the other way around, how often do you think you'll get a no from a doctor if you ask such a question? Researchers have investigated this, and they come up with about the same no rate wherever they go, and that is 30%, meaning 3 out of 10 times your doctor prescribes or suggests something that is completely unnecessary. And you know what they claim the reason for this is? Patient pressure. In other words, you. You want something to be done. A friend of mine came to me for medical advice. This is a sporty guy. He does a lot of cross-country skiing in the wintertime. He runs in the summertime. And this time he had gotten a bad backache whenever he went jogging, so much that he had to stop doing it. I did an examination. I questioned him thoroughly. What I found out is that he probably had a degenerated disc in the lower part of his spine. Whenever he got strained, it hurt. He had already taken up swimming instead of jogging. There was really nothing to do, so I told him, you need to be more selective when it comes to training. Some activities are good for you, some are not. His reply was, I want an MRI on my back. Why do you want an MRI? I can get it for free through my insurance at work. Come on, I said, he was also for all my friend. That's not a real reason. Well, I think it's going to be good to see how bad it looks back there. When did you start interpreting MRI scans, I said? Trust me on this. You're not going to need the scan. Well, he said, and after a while he continued, it could be cancer. He got the scan, obviously. And through his insurance at work, he got to see one of my colleagues at work telling him about the degenerated disc, that there was nothing to do, that he should keep on swimming and quit the jogging. After a while, I met him again and he said, at least now I know what this is. But let me ask you a question. What if all of you in this room with the same symptoms had an MRI? And what if all the people in Norway had an MRI due to occasional back pain. The waiting list for an MRI would quadruple, maybe even more. And you would all take the spot on that list from someone who really had cancer. So a good doctor sometimes says no, but a sensible patient also turned down sometimes an opportunity to get diagnosed or treated. Doctor. Is this really necessary? I know this can be a difficult question to ask. In fact, if you go back 50 years, this was even considered rude. If the doctor had decided what to do with you, that's what you did. A colleague of mine, now a general practitioner, was sent away on a tuberculosis sanatorium as a little girl. For 6 months, it was a terrible trauma for her. She later found out, as a grown-up, that her tests on tuberculosis had been negative all along. The doctor had sent her away on nothing but wrong suspicion. No one had dared or even considered confronting him about it, not even her parents. So, the next time you're in the doctor's office, I want you to ask, doctor, is this really necessary? And in my female patient's case, the answer would be, no, but an operation could also be justified. So doctors, what are the risks attached to this operation? Well, 5 to 10% of patients will have worsening of pain symptoms. 1 to 2% of patients will have an infection in the wound or even a rehemorrhage that might end up in a reoperation. 0.5% of patients also experience permanent hoarseness, and a few, but still a few, will experience reduced function in the arm or even legs. Doctor, are there other options? Yes, rest and physical therapy over some time might get you perfectly well. And what happens if I don't do anything? It's not recommended, but even then there's a slight chance that you will get well. 4 questions, simple questions. Consider them your new toolbox to help us. Is this really necessary? What are the risks? Are there other options? And what happens if I don't do anything? Ask them when your doctor wants to send you to an MRI, when he prescribes antibiotics, or suggests an operation. What we know from research is that 1 out of 5 of you, 20%, will change your opinion on what to do. And by doing that, you will not only have made your life a whole lot easier and probably even better, but the whole healthcare sector will have benefited from your decision.
The TEDx talk you just listened to was recorded in Oslo, Norway. All TEDx events are independently organized by volunteers who believe in TED's mission of ideas worth spreading. Thanks to the organizing team at TEDx Oslo. Want to listen to more TEDx talks? Explore the entire archive on the TEDx YouTube channel. I'm Atossa Leone. Thanks for listening, and see you tomorrow.